We're ready here. I'm Pete Domenici, ready to talk to Craig Kennedy, KKOB Albuquerque. Not there? Not there. Okay. Elaine, are you there?
Yes, I am, Senator.
Hi, nice to see you. How are you feeling today?
I feel fantastic. How about yourself?
I feel close to that.
Excellent.
Whatever you're supposed to feel when you're 76 compared to you. Okay. And we have Mike Jackson at KSVP Artesia. Are you there?
Yes, right here.
That's the home of Plutzy, right?
Yes, it is.
It's going to soon be known as that. And oil and gas in the background, right?
Yeah.
Still got a lot of money there from that. Okay, we're going to start with Elaine at KUNM. Elaine?
Yes, good morning, Senator. Bear with me. This question has a little bit of a setup. Almost 1 year ago, you said you wanted to see an end to U.S. troop occupation of Iraq, and you wanted to see troops heading home by spring of 2008, yet you've continued to vote to fully fund the war in Iraq. A year later today, the cost of the Iraq war so far is estimated on the very low end at $550 billion. That's the Congressional Research Service.
Yes.
The estimates are that means at least $1.6 billion from the state of New Mexico alone. Meanwhile, cleanup efforts around Los Alamos National Laboratory have fallen $100 million short this year. Albuquerque Public Schools has a $20 million deficit, and the city of Santa Fe needs millions of dollars to create affordable housing.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, you've got enough. You know, that's a setup question. So what else you got?
So the question is, for New Mexicans struggling with these kinds of needs, what do you say to assure them that $12 billion a month going to Iraq is a good thing?
Well, first of all, I have, as did many U.S. senators, vote to support this action. And it turned out that a number of mistakes were made, but we were there. And now people are asking, frankly, your question is rather late. Since talking about it being a setup, it's a setup a few years, maybe 18 months ago, but it's not a setup now because hardly anyone in the Congress thinks we should not support the troops and the war effort at this point in time. And for some months prior here, too, a large number of Republicans and Democrats say we have to follow through. Now, we reached a point where if one follows it carefully, we're getting to the point in time where we're going to start pulling out, and that's going to be the right time, and it's not too far off, and it's going to be a time when it's going to be safe for the people there and where they're going to have significant military power of their own to take care of things, and we're going to be in the background as things move out in that kind of manner. I've even heard the Democratic nominee for president change his stance on this last effort. In fact, he changed it in the same day twice to get it right. But essentially what he's now saying is just about what I'm saying, just about what the president's saying, and that is he wants to make sure the people understand he's for pulling out the troops. But he adds to it that it might take a little longer because it depends to a great extent what the generals on the ground tell you is safe, that you don't want to get out and cause a catastrophe in the getting out. And so you can talk about all the needs in our country as if they were vested, but the truth of the matter is you have to do what a great country does, and that means it has to spend its money on foreign policy. If that's where you end up. In this case, we started with a different kind of idea of getting rid of a culprit, a brazen dictator who killed people mercilessly, who many people thought would soon have a nuclear bomb. Many thought it was then and there being put together. The votes were taken on the basis of what we saw and were given by the CIA, and some people would like to call all of us who saw it liars. But that can't be said of the great General Powell, who saw the same thing I saw, concluded the same way, and told the United Nations the same thing. So we were in a situation that grew, and mistakes were made by those running the war. But we ended up with a reinjection of a surge, it was called, and it has really changed matters. Death rates are way down, the costs are coming down, and we will soon be on our way out of there. I'm not going to tell anybody it'll be a certain date, but once it's started, it'll be the kind of drawdown which can be done with minimal damage to the American soldiers, and at the same time leaving in place an opportunity for that country to possibly survive. You cannot measure the worth of a big, powerful country that thinks they're doing their job in a complicated world. That's just one of the costs you take of being a powerful leading nation. This one turns out to have a lot of mistakes built into it, but you don't compare it with not the things you haven't funded. If you want to do that, what we ought to talk about is all the mistakes that have been made on production of oil and oil substitutes, which are costing us more money than the war. They're costing us $500 to $750 billion a year in money that we have to send overseas for gasoline prices, for crude oil. And one could set me up with the same kind of question as you have and say, because of that, you're not building an Indian school, you're not building this or that, but of course you've got to pay for the price of oil, just like you have to pay the price of a war. Thanks for the question. Okay, let's go to Mike.
Yeah, Senator, good morning.
Mike, I'm sorry she had a long question. I had to give her a long answer.
That's all right. Hannah was telling me earlier today that there are some budget markups that are going on as we speak, and I believe one of those markups involves the website near Carlsbad.
Yes.
Can you get us caught up on that?
Very good. We had the Subcommittee of Appropriations, which funds WIP and all of the things that surround WIP, and all of the nuclear activity in New Mexico, nuclear weapons activity, and that was the subcommittee that I used to chair. Turns out I'm ranking member, and the new senator is chairing. The new senator is doing a wonderful job. He's learning quickly. His name is Byron Dorgan. People have met him at the laboratories. He has a genuine and abiding interest in the laboratories, which is very good for us. And in today's markup, WIP received recommended funding of $231.6 million. That's above the request and about $3 million below the 10,008 level funding. It also provides for operational expenditures of $146.1 million, $20 million over the request, and characterization, $29 million, transportation, $28 million, community support, $27 million, Center for Excellence and Hazardous Materials in Carlsbad gets $2 million, and the WIP Records Archive gets $4 million. So overall, Carlsbad and the community gets well taken care of, but the functions of the United States government are just about funded the way they ought to be, so I'm proud of that. And we'll have to go to conference with the House, we being the Senate. I might not be here when that conference occurs, but we have it all set up now where at least we go to conference knowing full well what's in this bill. Thanks for the question. Now let's go back to Elaine and see if she can have a reasonably question. It has reasonable length to it.
Thanks, Senator. I'll do just a short follow-up question to the previous discussion of funding for Iraq. I know some people in Congress have suggested funding the war in Iraq with a time limit or funding withdrawal operations specifically separately from maintaining operations. Your response to setting a hard date to withdrawal of troops from Iraq, why is that not something that you're interested in doing at this time?
Well, again, I would say if one was interested in a hard date, it ought to be when we weren't doing as well as we are. And I'm not saying I would have, but maybe one would consider it. Nobody's considering that has very many votes up here because it's past the time for us to be doing that. It is being run by a group of people subject to much congressional oversight. The people running it know what they're doing for a change. They know how to get this war ended. They know how to end it in the right way, with America not coming out as a total absolute loser, and at the same time leaving Iraq with a little better position than she would if we tried to set a time and we were wrong, or set a time and we didn't know what we were talking about because the generals on the ground knew that certain things had to happen and we didn't consider them or decided we would vote on a time in spite of it. So, Elaine, it's another good one of those that know my position. The people in New Mexico have known it very well for a long time, and we are coming to a point where it's going to get solved finally and resolved, and it's going to be resolved better than it would have a couple of years ago. Probably lessons are being learned about America's intervention in these kind of events, but like I said, we did it. It was done under different facts than actually turned out to be, and therefore we have to end it in a way that is as good as we can under the circumstances, and that's what we're going to try to do. And I thank you for the question. I didn't intend anything derogatory when I gave you back your setup with another setup of my own. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go back to Artesia, the home of the Bulldogs. Mike, are you there?
Yes, Senator. One other thing. I know you touched upon markups for WIP. Can you tell us what's going on with FLTSI and all this markup process?
Yes, I can. FLTSI is quickly becoming a true institution of national significance. I am absolutely astounded when I go down there and drive by and then make a U-turn and go in the front gate and see what we've got. It is just a fantastic training facility, training men and women for one of the most difficult of American jobs, that is governmental functions, and that is to finally get to a point where we have enough Border Patrol to say that we can control the border and be there for all of the different events that occur and keep the border safe. To do that, the FLTSI has to turn out many thousands of workers, employees, that become well-suited to do this job. Now, this year, Homeland Security put up for FLTSI the bill, put up $41.3 billion, the whole bill for Homeland Security, $3 million to complete the construction of a student rec center at FLTSI is in the bill, and the center also got $2 million for FY208 to launch the project, which will allow FLTSI to accommodate 1,600 trainees on any single time. So it's getting money it's supposed to get this year, and we think that'll hold up. We go to conference because the big FLTSI and this FLTSI and our FLTSI in New Mexico are all receiving very high accolades from the criminal law enforcement people of the United States. I hope we got it understood. I did not give you the base funding for FLTSI, because I don't seem to have it. Maybe I can get it here. FLTSI gets $237 million for the operations at campuses in Artesia, Glencoe, Georgia, and two other places. This includes $86.4 for acquisitions and construction improvements and related expenses for expansion and improvement at the various FLTSI campuses. We're going to get what we told the people, what we were told we need for the FLTSI campus. That's what we're going to get, the right number. And we're proud and pleased that we're going to do that. I'm thinking back as I leave about how this started with a little Christian school that had gone broke, and look what we've got. And some local citizens bought it, sold it to the government at the same price that they bought it for. It provided we do something down there that was meaningful, and here's the outcome. What a super outcome indeed it was. Okay?
Right, Senator.
I want to talk about this. Los Alamos. I'd like to give you all a statement about Los Alamos and Sandia. The Senate bill moves on a different path than that taken by the House Appropriations Committee. And we've avoided cuts of nearly $600 million for weapons activities and almost $300 million in stockpile stewardship accounts. The bill also adds $20 million as requested by the administration's budget for waste isolation pilot project. I'd summarize it there. And I wanted to make sure everybody understands that the bill's science investment at the national laboratories, including raising the lab-directed research and development by two more percent to a 10% level. That's one of the best things we did in the bill, giving the directors 10% of their budget loose to put into high-level projects or high-level research events that they think are important to the nation. In essence, Sandia and Los Alamos came out excellent in this bill. I won't go through all of it except you got my quick summary. I will say that LANO got $5 million add-on to give the lab a role in climate change modeling capability, and with another $20 million going to all of the national laboratories, the National Security Administration labs for their work. This bill also devotes $7 million to a new effort called MARIE, M-A, capital R-I-E, Matter, Radiation, Interactions, and Extremes. Funny name, but big time. That's a kind of a new science effort. It'll grow over time, and it'll be part of making great breakthroughs in material sciences, which is one of the things that the world really needs. And it'll be get started at Los Alamos with this bill. Thanks for listening. It's nice to be with you, and I'm glad you, Elaine. I'm particularly glad you came. You always make it nice and lots of fun to be on together. Are you still there?
Third question.
Do you have another question?
I have one more. If you yes. have another minute or two.
I do.
Not for the question, for your answer. The question's short.
Go ahead.
The question is with regard to the FISA bill that I believe you'll be voting on either later today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Senator Bingaman has said that it's a bad idea to grant retroactive immunity to the telecoms that may have violated the law to grant the immunity before the cases can be investigated. Why do you disagree with that?
Well, I disagree wholeheartedly, and I'm sure this bill is going to pass with a provision in that is going to provide retroactive immunity because this entire program was built on the premise that the United States government went to these companies and asked if they would help the government carry out this specific effort. The companies said yes, and the companies did exactly what the federal government prescribed. Now, there are some people who didn't like the program to be in existence at all, but when it finally got out and the American people got involved, the senators and congressmen came around and said, we better keep doing this because, you know, those who don't want America to take advantage of to some extent of the excellence we have in keeping people from being able to attack the United States, like happened, and the big one they did on us in New York, in order to totally equip ourselves, we need to do what those companies added to our own power. Adding their power to our power, we were able to avoid many events that could have harmed us. Now, they did that at the request of the government, and then when we got around to redoing the bill, reauthorizing it, we had the people with a hue and cry saying we should be able to sue every one of those companies if they did wrong. In fact, we had the one reason it was held up. I don't say this as Senator Bingaman, but the truth of the matter is the trial lawyers got to the U.S. House and they had a field day. They said, we want to finish these up. We want to sue all these people. And you know they're going to have to pay us even if they didn't do anything wrong because we're going to expose them. And so you know it was really the lawyers once again trying to get too much money, and the Congress having to decide whether they were going to say, we implicitly asked them to do this because it was our government. We're not going to go about suing them, letting people sue them, as we start anew. We put in language that I don't have in front of me, that you probably have, that makes this a positive vote for a number of people that wouldn't otherwise vote for it. And it has to do with protecting in some way from the these companies having violated the law in any extraordinary way. But I'm very pleased with the result. I think it's high time. I am not at all sorry for the vote. I think it's a good vote. As a matter of fact, I would do it again to form this activity, to pay for it, and then to make sure that we didn't let the lawyers sue the people that we brought in to help us. You know, this is one where the surveillance of phone calls from outside the United States into the United States, where we have every reason to believe that the outside person is concocting something against America. It was a pretty cinch situation for us to do our job as a nation, and to get hung up for months here because the lawyers want the right to file suits. It's really pretty pathetic. As I said, I would never do that. They don't need this kind of lawsuit, and we don't need this kind of problem. Long answer, short question.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Okay, I think we're finished. Thank you, Mr. Bulldog. Good to talk to you.
All right.